It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Good morning, Lee.
Hey there, Tara.
Okay, so the Democrat Party proudly announcing the toll of abortions racked up in the parking lot in the back.
Good grief.
At least through Wednesday, anyway. They didn't give it out again. It was 25. So they managed through free abortions to eliminate an entire school classroom of children.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was viewed as a positive and very much celebrated, which is weird because almost the entire first day of the DNC convention was dedicated to women whining and crying about how they couldn't kill their children. They couldn't get an abortion because mean Trump.
And honest media would report this as 25 deaths at the Democratic National Convention.
Well, through Wednesday, they didn't ever release a final tally. So we don't know. It could have been twice that. But we know at least, yes, an honest media would report that. Now, what's weird about that, right? If you spend all day Monday or a lot of it on women whining and crying that their abortions have been outlawed, it's kind of hard to explain how women are getting them in the parking lot.
Yeah. Was anyone arrested?
No, nobody was.
Okay.
So supposedly, according to the Democrat Party, abortions are illegal now because Trump, orange man bad, and women don't have access to them. But also, we're pleased to announce we did at least 25 free ones out back in the parking lot. So that message doesn't make a lot of sense if you think about it. I mean, if it's so highly illegal, you have to, you know, dedicate an entire day to the convention, then how are you doing them in the parking lot? And nobody got arrested. Sort of logic gaps nobody asked the Democrats about.
Well, of course.
And this is the same thing I run into with liberal women, you know, my liberal girlfriends, people like that, who will tell you with a straight face or post on their social media that Trump outlawed their abortion. Yet somehow people keep getting abortions. It's the weirdest thing, including in the parking lot of the DNC. And that is because the Supreme Court did not outlaw anyone's abortion. They said, we do not have the constitutional authority to either permit or deny an abortion. We don't have it. It's reserved to the states because it wasn't mentioned in the Constitution. That's how it works. But the states have the right to do that, and so some may and some may not. In fact, Alito again wrote in his decision, and people, the left and left-wing media doesn't like to quote this, that the right would be as upset with his decision as the left because it would mean some states would have abortion up until birth. That part always gets left out.
Yeah, conveniently.
Conveniently
for Democrats, yeah.
Whereas, you know, other states would go, you know, in the complete opposite direction, but it would be a state issue now. So the Democrats are running these ads that have these suburban women all tied up in knots. They're running them all over the place. They're running them in the Raleigh suburbs right now. They're running them up in North Carolina. Trump banned your abortion, and he wants a national ban on your abortions. And women believe this. They think it's real. And, you know, you just like, you want to challenge them. Okay, go look up if you can get an abortion in your state, because in most states you still can, unfortunately. But that is not good to run on. So they're doing something else. Interestingly, over the weekend, J.D. Vance actually settled this question. This is him being interviewed, and they're repeating to him the lie, Trump is going to do a national abortion ban. Well, Trump's been clear He's not.
Yeah.
Take a listen.
If such a piece of legislation landed on Donald Trump's desk, would he veto it?
Well, I think it'd be very clear he would not support it. I mean, he said that explicitly. Yeah, I mean, if you're not supporting it as the president of the United States, you fundamentally have to veto it.
So he would veto a federal abortion ban?
I think he would. He said that explicitly that he would.
Yeah.
So however you feel about that, the Democrats saying on a loop and dedicating the first day of their convention this idea that Trump is going to ban your abortion is just simply not true. And Trump's been on the record since the primary on that.
You know,
but they're pretending not to know this.
It's just so frustrating when you have news groups like the Associated Press who will always, anytime Donald Trump says something, without affirmation. And yet the Kamala Harris campaign will sit here and make these claims about Project 25 or abortion, national abortion ban, and they don't say without affirmation because there is no affirmation of any of this. I mean, this is just, once again, another example of the duplicity of the American media.
And look, they're covering for the Democrats because the Democrats don't have an agenda that they can share with you. Because if they shared their actual agenda with you, you would not vote for them. A lot of their own voters, I think, wouldn't vote for them. J.D. Vance, by the way, continued, with the interview. Amazing that he actually does interviews, really crazy, and takes hard questions. That there's not going to be a national abortion ban.
But no Republican, at least no Republican with any reasonable power, is saying that we should have a complete national abortion ban. I haven't heard that from any of my colleagues. And to be clear, Donald Trump, I think, has staked his position and made it very explicit. He wants this to be a state decision. States are going to make this determination themselves.
All right, let's talk about...
I mean, we can debate whether or not that ought to happen or not, but the fact is he has not been out supporting it, and them claiming it as a political wedge issue is false. By the way, Tara, we watched the Hillbilly Elegy this weekend at the house.
Oh, we were thinking about doing that too. How was it?
I thought it was good. It wasn't a great movie, but it was good. Glenn Close is absolutely fantastic as a mamaw in that. I was very impressed with her performance. That was it was interesting. It's worth the time. Like I said, it's not a great movie, but it's a good movie, and it really makes you think twice about reinforces my positive opinion about J.D. Vance because of where he came from and the circumstances of his early childhood. It's just amazing.
We're going to have to watch that as a family. Yeah, the book's supposed to be great too.
Of course, the movie is based on the book, and how much of that is actually accurate, but. If anything close, I mean, it's interesting story.
Yes, and where he came from, too. The kind of bootstrap story we used to celebrate, except we can't celebrate it if it's a white male pulling himself up.
And that's very interesting because that's sort of what I came across with the feeling I got out of that. Is like, interesting, you're seeing where a white Appalachian man was discriminated against, or at least there was negative stereotypes that were associated with his geographic upbringing.
Yeah, and look, it seems like men are catching on. Did you see this over the weekend, the latest Gallup polling? This is truly shocking. In 2016, 51% of young men ages 18 to 29 identified as Democrats. Mm-hmm. 2016, right? Mm-hmm. And ever since then, the Democrat Party has been telling them, you are toxic. If you were male, if you were white, two things you cannot control. Well, I guess you could control if you're male, right? They expect you to do something about it. I don't know. Then we don't want you. We want nothing to do with you. You are the problem in society. Men are getting the message. Mm-hmm. 2016, 51% of men 18 to 29 identify as Democrats. Today, it's 39%. From 51 to 39%. That could be this election right there. They just have to go to the polls.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if J.D. Vance and kind of his story, which just flies in the face of, exactly what you're saying, this idea that you're privileged if you're male, and if you're male, you're toxic, not necessarily in the United States of America, but you can still make it. That's what J.D. Vance's story shows.
Mm-hmm. But it takes individual hard work and merit.
Exactly.
And character.
Two things that the Democrat Party is absolutely at war with, especially when men do them. So it's going to be interesting to see how that works out. But if Trump can shave off just a couple of points in that direction, with men who used to be Democrats, now they're Republicans, he can win this thing. But we'll see. But those are record-breaking numbers, Lee. This represents the first time young men are decisively Republican since the 70s. Yeah. By the way, the policies are the same as the 70s, too.
Yeah.
So we've had majorities of men 18 to 29 being Democrat for in the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s, up until now. And it has flipped between 2016 and right now. Love to hear from you. If you are a man, if you're in that demographic, what is going on among men? Maybe this would be your son's age. What is the change here? Why are men wising up? What specifically is it that's happened since 2016? You can text me 71307. It's Common Sense Retirement Planning text line.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's not just Kamala Harris who's not doing interviews. Tim Walz isn't either. And now you can see why. Is there anything this guy hasn't lied about? He's just like Joe Biden. He's a compulsive liar. He needs help. He needs a good psychologist, not more power. Listen to this. The Nebraska Chamber of Commerce had to write a letter to Tim Walz's congressional campaign to remove an award he never received from them. The chamber then endorsed his opponent in the race. Is there anything Tim Walz hasn't lied about? Folks, I have a feeling as we go, we're going to find more and more and more and more. And he just made up. This is the kind of stuff Joe Biden did. People had to write him letters saying, you know, cease and desist, stop lying about my family, my friend, my, you know, my whatever. Remember when Joe Biden was lying about how his first wife died? She ran a stoplight. It was unfortunate. She made a mistake. Collided with another car. She died, as did their toddler son. Joe Biden likes to run around and tell the story of how the man drank his lunch and his wife was killed by a drunk driver. That didn't happen. So when he was on the campaign trail with Barack Obama, he started telling the lie again because it's compulsive. They can't stop. They're not just liars. They're compulsive. And the lawyer for the family had to once again write Joe a letter saying, hey, Joe, stop lying. You know that we've written you before, and our father, who's now deceased, was not drunk and was not at fault in the accident. Stop lying. Tim Walz is the same way. He can't stop. Kind of scary. Yeah, I mean, given the record of the Secret Service, you know, Walz is, you know, it's hard to say how close or far away from power he is. By the way, over the weekend, we are learning a couple of things from whistleblowers about what happened at that Butler rally. Number one, I knew this. I knew it. I knew it. Number one, the FBI was involved in the planning of the Butler rally. Weird, because about all the Secret Service did was unsecure and insecure the rally and find ways not to provide protection. Number two, another whistleblower's come out this weekend. Well, end of week, came out this weekend. Another whistleblower's come out to say, we knew there was security gaps. We asked our superiors at the Secret Service to fill them in specifically for the Butler rally. They told us not to request, there's a form for it, not to request additional security. They did not want to provide it specifically for the Butler rally. And they told us not to ask. So you know what that means? That means both Secret Service directors, the one that resigned and the acting director, who was number two under her, lied to Congress under oath. Very curious to get more information on the FBI. being involved in the planning here, or lack of planning, or really undoing the security is really what they did. I mean, remember how this went from the beginning. The local cops are like, hey, we got a great drone. Yeah, no, it's perfect for things like this. It can actually identify and eliminate a potential assassin. You want to use it? No. Well, your drone's not working there, so you want to use our? No. Well, it's weird because, you know, normally these events have an advanced team. It's called the CDR team. It's a Secret Service team. It was suspended for the Butler rally. That's the team that before the event began, before Trump began speaking, should have had, according to the whistleblower, the shooter in handcuffs, and would have, but they weren't there. That's the team with Secret Service agents that's supposed to identify potential points of assassination. In other words, if you were a shooter, if you were an assassin, where would you go? And we'll secure that point. That team was never set in. They never had a chance. It's a wonder Trump's not dead. And now we find out the FBI was in the middle of all of this. Doing what? Well, so we don't know. Because Judicial Watch has put 25 FOIAs in for information. Specifically, they want to know, was the FBI involved in the planning of the Butler rally? And they want all communications between the FBI, Secret Service, and any local police. You know, officers, agencies. We find out they were involved. Weird. But they're denying the FOIA. They're denying the freedom of information request. Huh. Based on what? Well, it's a FOIA category that says that it's part of a prosecution. That's weird because the shooter's dead. Who are they prosecuting? There's no charges against anybody. So what this confirms is the FBI was involved in the planning of the Butler rally. Didn't know that. And they're refusing to turn over any communications involved in their planning of the Butler rally. Weird again. And, you know, that's especially really, really weird and kind of strange considering what whistleblowers told John Solomon of Just the News. You can actually go see the documents yourself on Just the News. That assassin sent from Iran to kill Trump, you know, the one who was trying to leave the country the day before the Butler rally? Weird, right? That assassin, he was actually Pakistani, but he was sent by Iran, who had come, by the way, right from Iran. Yeah, that assassin ended up in the country because the FBI approved his visa, knowing full well he was on the terror watch list. They used a rare category of national security, like a rare category of that to apply to approve the visa. Let him in, interviewed him at the airport, and let him go. When he overstayed that visa and was in the country illegally, they didn't pick him up. Now we find out the FBI was involved in the planning for the Butler rally. And of all the days in the entire year, the assassin led in by the FBI tries to leave the day before the Butler rally. What are the odds of that? Roughly one in, I don't know, 365? Kind of small odds. And now we find out they were involved in the planning of the rally, but they won't turn over any communications about the rally. By the way, this is weird. Who has the investigation into the attempted assassination of Donald Trump at the Butler rally been turned over to? What agency? Well, gosh darn, the FBI. Wait a minute. You mean the very people we just found out this weekend from Judicial Watch were involved in the planning of the Butler rally are investigating the Butler rally? Are investigating the failure of the Secret Service? Yes, the Secret Service is also investigating this trip, but the lead agency on the rally investigation is the FBI. But how can they be the lead agency if we're now learning this weekend from Judicial Watch they were involved in the planning of the rally? Something very weirdly, the FBI director did not mention to Congress when he was under oath a couple of weeks ago. It's all really weird. I'm sure it's just a bunch of coincidences and we'll straighten them all out if Trump lives to election day. Folks, this is alarming stuff. I hope the Trump team's keeping up with this stuff. And I hope they have their own security. By the way, speaking of security, did you notice over the weekend RFK's security was suspended? Sure looked like a punishment, doesn't it? Although, I don't know, on the balance, a lot of people debating this on X this weekend, RFK might actually be safer without Secret Service protection. Because then they can't get, you know, near you. Hard to say. I mean, when you don't know if the Secret Service is actually the enemy or is in league with the enemy or is just so bad, it looks like they could be in league with the enemy, but you can't tell. I don't know. I'm not sure if RFK is better or worse off this morning, but they announced, I love this. They announced, hey, we're not protecting him. Who? That guy, RFK, over there. That one, see him? See RFK? Yeah, he's not protected. Not by us. Na-na-na-na-boo-boo. These people are nuts. Nuts. Folks, I had to tell you something. This Butler rally story, this, I don't know how long it's going to take, 6 months, a year. They're going to, Judicial Watch is going to get this stuff. They always do. I think what they're going to find is going to blow your mind. Endorsement so much is a cry for help. We've never seen anything like this in politics, especially from a Kennedy. I mean, you're talking about a legacy. RFK is the nephew of JFK. If you think about it from his perspective, it's actually kind of wild. Now think about this. He watched his uncle, JFK, fight the federal deep state of the time and then die soon after by assassination. Now, if you pay any attention to RFK, he's done many interviews in which he makes it clear he believes the deep state murdered JFK, and he'll tell you that. Whatever the truth of it is, that's what he believes. And he'll go into extensive detail, and it's actually kind of fascinating to listen to those interviews. Well, RFK just watched Trump take on the Democrat-controlled and run deep state with remarkably similar results, almost, to his uncle, JFK. In this case, an assassination attempt. Think about the impact that would have on you. And then take a listen to what RFK has been through. I didn't realize how bad this was. Folks, as I play this, understand what RFK is saying. He is begging the American people to stop the Democrat Party. And he says, look, I am a liberal Democrat. And he's saying, we are going to live in a totalitarian regime if somebody doesn't stop them. If you listen to the RFK story of what the Democrats have done to him since he tried to run against Joe Biden that primary and they shut him out, so he ran as an independent, you know what you can only conclude? Trump is not alone. Nobody is going to be able to run against them without the full force and might of the intelligence state coming down on their head. It's a remarkable story. Here's some of it. And really, this was not, again, just an endorsement speech. It was a cry for help.
What alarms me is the resort to censorship and media control and the weaponization of the federal agencies. When a U.S. president colludes with or outright coerces media companies to censor political speech, it's an attack on our most sacred right, a free expression, and that's the very right upon which all of our other constitutional rights rest. President Biden mocked Vladimir Putin's 88% landslide in the Russian elections, observing that Putin and his party controlled the Russian press, and that Putin prevented serious opponents from appearing on the ballot. But here in America, the DNC also prevented opponents from appearing on the ballot. And our television networks exposed themselves as Democratic Party organs. Over the course of more than a year in a campaign where my poll numbers reached at times in the high 20s, the DNC allied mainstream media networks maintain a near perfect embargo on interviews with me.
So he says, look, they blanked me out, so I couldn't do interviews, which normally wouldn't be a big deal because then I could just take to my social media accounts where he was popular and had a following and I could just talk to people there. But they wouldn't let him. First on the interviews.
During his 10-month presidential campaign in 1992, Ross Perot gave 34 interviews on mainstream networks. In contrast, during the 16 months since I declared, ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, and CNN combined gave only two live interviews from me. Those networks instead ran a continuous deluge of hit pieces with inaccurate, often vile, pejoratives and defamatory smears. Some of those same networks and colluded with the DNC to keep me off the debate stage.
Okay, that would be one thing if he could reach the people he needed to reach on social media. But the bombshell, and this was blacked out by the media too. You know, there was a ruling. He has a case against Joe Biden. The judge in that case, RFK does, the judge in that case just ruled for RFK last week and detailed what the CIA, FBI, Department of Homeland Security did to censor RFK on Biden's orders. Take a listen to this.
This week, a federal judge, Terry Doty, upheld my injunction against President Biden, calling the White House's censorship project, quote, the most egregious violation of the First Amendment in the history of the United States of America. Doty's previous 155-page decision details how, just 37 hours after he took the oath of office, swearing to uphold the Constitution, President Biden and his White House opened up a portal and then invited the CIA, the FBI, CISA, which is a censorship agency, it's the center of the censorship industrial complex, DHS, the IRS, and other agencies to censor me and other political dissidents on social media. Even today, users who try to post my campaign videos to Facebook or YouTube get messages that this content violates community standards. 2 days after Judge Doty rendered his decision this week, Facebook was still attaching warning labels to an online petition calling on ABC to include me in the upcoming debate. They said that violates community standards, their community standards.
Again, you're seeing with RFK the future for Republicans. How do you run against a Democrat? They'll block you out. No interviews from mainstream media. Can't do that. But then they'll dispatch, he says right there, as the judge found, this is from the judge's findings, the CIA, the FBI, the Department of Homeland Security, even the IRS to censor you so that you cannot speak against the Democrats online either. Folks, we can't have a republic that way. We can't have a democracy that way. And he begged whoever is listening to stop these people. Wait till you hear what he said at the rally after. It was almost the most amazing part of his speech. I'll have that up next.
The Democratic Party under Kamala Harris has gone so far to the left that you actually had a Kennedy endorse a Republican. That's pretty remarkable that the Democratic Party has become so radical under Kamala Harris that a member of the Kennedy family has come out to endorse a Republican.
And it wasn't just an endorsement. If you got a chance to listen to the speech, it was a cry for help. There's no other way to put it. This was Kennedy. He appeared at a Trump rally after he gave the speech. And this was really the most jaw-dropping. He had talked before during the speech about how within 37 hours of Joe Biden taking office, after swearing to uphold the Constitution, he almost immediately turned around and sicked the FBI, the CIA, the Department of Homeland Security, and CISA and the IRS on Kennedy. And he was censored through the back door, along with other what he calls political dissidents. Remarkable story. And he says this is why he's done. He's left the Democrat Party. Take a listen to how he describes the Democrats. And this is why I say this wasn't your typical endorsement speech. This was a cry for help from the American people to stop our country from going totalitarian under the rule of the Democrats. It is remarkable. I've never seen anything like this.
He wanted to end the censorship because the whole basis of American democracy is the free flow of information. And we know that a government that can silence its opponents has license for any kind of atrocity. And can you think of any time that you can look back in history and say that the people who were censoring were the good guys. They're always the bad guys, because it's always the first step down that slippery slope to totalitarianism. And don't you want a president who's going to protect America's freedoms?
Again, that wasn't just an endorsement speech. It was a cry for help. I mean, think about this for a minute. You're watching a Kennedy, the only Kennedy who's still politically active to any great degree, beg the country to...
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Endorsement so much is a cry for help. We've never seen anything like this in politics, especially from a Kennedy. I mean, we're talking about a legacy. RFK is the nephew of JFK. If you think about it from his perspective, it's actually kind of wild. Now think about this. He watched his uncle, JFK, fight the federal deep state of the time and then die soon after by assassination. Now, if you pay any attention to RFK, he's done many interviews in which he makes it clear he believes the deep state murdered JFK, and he'll tell you that. Whatever the truth of it is, that's what he believes. And he'll go into extensive detail, and it's actually kind of fascinating to listen to those interviews. Well, RFK just watched Trump take on the Democrat-controlled and run deep state with remarkably similar results, almost, to his uncle, JFK. In this case, an assassination attempt. Think about the impact that would have on you. And then take a listen to what RFK has been through. I didn't realize how bad this was. Folks, as I play this, understand what RFK is saying. He is begging the American people to stop the Democrat Party. And he says, look, I am a liberal Democrat. And he's saying, we are going to live in a totalitarian regime if somebody doesn't stop them. If you listen to the RFK story of what the Democrats have done to him since he tried to run against Joe Biden that primary and they shut him out, so he ran as an independent, you know what you can only conclude? Trump is not alone. Nobody is going to be able to run against them without the full force and might of the intelligence state coming down on their head. It's a remarkable, remarkable story. Here's some of it. And really, this was not, again, just an endorsement speech. It was a cry for help.
What alarms me is the resort to censorship and media control and the weaponization of the federal agencies. When a U.S. president colludes with or outright coerces media companies to censor political speech, it's an attack on our most sacred right of free expression. And that's the very right upon which all of our other constitutional rights rest. President Biden mocked Vladimir Putin's 88% landslide in the Russian elections, observing that Putin and his party controlled the Russian press and that Putin prevented serious opponents from appearing on the ballot. But here in America, the DNC also prevented opponents from appearing on the ballot. And our television networks exposed themselves as Democratic Party organs over the course of more than a year in a campaign where my poll numbers reached at times in the high 20s. The DNC aligned mainstream media networks maintain a near perfect embargo on interviews with me.
So he says, look, they blacked me out, blanked me out, so I couldn't do interviews, which normally wouldn't be a big deal because then I could just take to my social media accounts where he was popular and had a following and I could just talk to people there. But they wouldn't let him. First on the interviews.
During his 10-month presidential campaign in 1992, Ross Perot gave 34 interviews on mainstream networks. In contrast, during the 16 months since I declared, ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, and CNN combined gave only 2 live interviews from me. Those networks instead ran a continuous deluge of hit pieces with inaccurate, often vile, pejoratives and defamatory smears. Some of those same networks and colluded with the DNC to keep me off the debate stage.
Okay, that would be one thing if he could reach the people he needed to reach on social media. But the bombshell, and this was blacked out by the media too. You know, there was a ruling. He has a case against Joe Biden. The judge in that case, RFK does, the judge in that case just ruled for RFK last week and detailed what the CIA, FBI, Department of Homeland Security did to censor RFK on Biden's orders. Take a listen to this.
This week, a federal judge, Terry Doty, upheld my injunction against President Biden, calling the White House's censorship project, quote, the most egregious violation of the First Amendment in the history of the United States of America. Doty's previous 155-page decision details how, just 37 hours after he took the oath of office, swearing to uphold the Constitution, President Biden and his White House opened up a portal and then invited the CIA, the FBI, CISA, which is a censorship agency, it's the center of the censorship industrial complex, DHS, the IRS and other agencies to censor me and other political dissidents on social media. Even today, users who try to post my campaign videos to Facebook or YouTube get messages that this content violates community standards. 2 days after Judge Doty rendered his decision this week, Facebook was still attaching warning labels to an online petition calling on ABC to include me in the upcoming debate. They said that violates community standards, their community standards.
Again, you're seeing with RFK the future for Republicans. How do you run against the Democrat? They'll block you out. No interviews from mainstream media. Can't do that. But then they'll dispatch, he says right there, as the judge found, this is from the judge's findings, the CIA, the FBI, the Department of Homeland Security, even the IRS to censor you so that you cannot speak against the Democrats online either. Folks, we can't have a republic that way. We can't have a democracy that way. And he begged whoever is listening to stop these people. Wait till you hear what he said at the rally after. It was almost the most amazing part of his speech. I'll have that up next.
The Democratic Party under Kamala Harris has gone so far to the left that you actually had a Kennedy endorse a Republican. That's pretty remarkable that the Democratic Party has become so radical under Kamala Harris that a member of the Kennedy family has come out to endorse a Republican.
And it wasn't just an endorsement. If you got a chance to listen to the speech, it was a cry for help. There's no other way to put it. This was Kennedy. He appeared at a Trump rally after he gave the speech. And this was really the most jaw-dropping. He had talked before during the speech about how within 37 hours of Joe Biden taking office, after swearing to uphold the Constitution, he almost immediately turned around and sicked the FBI, the CIA, the Department of Homeland Security, and CISA and the IRS on Kennedy. And he was censored through the back door, along with other what he calls political dissidents. Remarkable story. And he says this is why he's done. He's left the Democrat Party. Take a listen to how he describes the Democrats. And this is why I say this wasn't your typical endorsement speech. This was a cry for help from the American people to stop our country from going totalitarian under the rule of the Democrats. It is remarkable. I've never seen anything like this.
He wanted to end the censorship because the whole basis of American democracy is the free flow of information. And we know that a government that can silence its opponents has license for any kind of atrocity. And can you think of any time that you can look back in history and say that the people who were censoring were the good guys? They're always the bad guys, because it's always the first step down that slippery slope to totalitarianism. And don't you want a president who's going to protect America's freedoms?
Again, that wasn't just an endorsement speech. It was a cry for help. I mean, think about this for a minute. You're watching a Kennedy, the only Kennedy who's still politically active to any great degree, beg the country to stop the Democrat Party. And he talks about, look, I loved the, I am a Democrat. He talks about how I used to, you know, my first Democrat National Convention was when I was six. This is the party of my uncle, my father. And he's begging us to stop them before it's too late. One of the most remarkable things I've ever seen. And he wasn't alone. Jill Stein, another liberal, she's running, you know, as another alternative to Trump and Kamala. She's a liberal Democrat, too. Over the weekend, she said, look, the deep state runs Joe Biden. They tell Joe Biden what to do. And they're going to tell Kamala, too. I mean, I don't know what the FBI is going to do here. They're going to silence all of them? I guess so.
He who has not been able to think clearly or carry out a conversation or even read from a teleprompter. You know, this man was not fit to be president. He's not fit to be president right now. You don't want this guy woken up at 2 a.m., you know, by the hotline and there's some emergency that has to be solved. Who's making the decisions here? You know, it's not people who've been elected. It's the deep state. It is his staff, whoever. You know, he shouldn't be in office, and he crashed and burned. Well, they're going to do the same thing with Kamala Harris, because we've all seen her. You know, we've had 4 years to see her in action, and before that as well. She had to drop out of the primary in 2020 because there was no support for her whatsoever. She was going to have a really humiliating result in her own home state of California. So it's just a matter of time. That ship, too, is going to sink. So
he said, she's saying, look, they controlled Joe Biden. They will control Kamala, too. This is a liberal Democrat. They're asking for help. And then Brett Weinstein. Did you see this? If you've watched liberal cable television, you know him because he's one of their favorite talking heads. He's great for slicing and dicing Republicans. Or he was. Over the weekend, he came out and said he's an RFK supporter. He endorses Trump as a liberal Democrat. Why? He is saying we have to stop the modern Democrat Party or we're going to end up as a totalitarian state. Take a listen.
Does this cause a guy like you to be open to the idea of voting for Trump versus Kamala?
Oh, absolutely. Let me just be perfectly clear about this. I think the modern Democratic Party is an existential threat to the Republic. And although I am a Democrat, I've been a Democrat my whole life, the party that I see in front of me today is literally the inverse of the party I signed up for. This is now the party of war. This is the party of racism. This is the party of censorship. I don't recognize this party. There is no conceivable scenario in which I would vote for Kamala Harris. I just simply will not do it. Am I open to voting for Trump? I am. I'm especially open to it if he is partnered with Bobby Kennedy, because what that tells me is that my values, which are a much closer match for Bobby's, are represented in that administration. And that's really what I want.
Again, these aren't liberal values they're talking about. These are basic American values. We have First Amendment. We love free speech. It's a part of the fabric of America that are under attack by the Democrats. Fascinating. I wonder if any others will come on board.
The Democratic Party under Kamala Harris has gone so far to the left that you actually had a Kennedy endorse a Republican. That's pretty remarkable that the Democratic Party has become so radical under Kamala Harris that a member of the Kennedy family has come out to endorse a Republican.
And it wasn't just an endorsement. If you got a chance to listen to the speech, it was a cry for help. There's no other way to put it. This was Kennedy. He appeared at a Trump rally after he gave the speech. And this was really the most jaw-dropping. He had talked before during the speech about how within 37 hours of Joe Biden taking office, after swearing to uphold the Constitution, he almost immediately turned around and sicked the FBI, the CIA, the Department of Homeland Security, and CISA and the IRS on Kennedy. And he was censored through the back door, along with other what he calls political dissidents. Remarkable story. And he says this is why he's done. He's left the Democrat Party. Take a listen to how he describes the Democrats. And this is why I say this wasn't your typical endorsement speech. This was a cry for help from the American people to stop our country from going totalitarian under the rule of the Democrats. It is remarkable. I've never seen anything like this.
He wanted to end the censorship because the whole basis of American democracy is the free flow of information. And we know that a government that can silence its opponents has license for any kind of atrocity. And can you think of any time that you can look back in history and say that the people who were censoring were the good guys? They're always the bad guys, because it's always the first step down that slippery slope to totalitarianism. And don't you want a president who's going to protect America's freedoms?
Again, that wasn't just an endorsement speech. It was a cry for help. I mean, think about this for a minute. You're watching a Kennedy, the only Kennedy who's still politically active to any great degree, beg the country to stop the Democrat Party. And he talks about, look, I loved the, I am a Democrat. He talks about how I used to, you know, my first Democrat National Convention was when I was six. This is the party of my uncle, my father. And he's begging us to stop them before it's too late. One of the most remarkable things I've ever seen. And he wasn't alone. Jill Stein, another liberal, she's running, you know, as another alternative to Trump and Kamala. She's a liberal Democrat, too. Over the weekend, she said, look, the deep state runs Joe Biden. They tell Joe Biden what to do. And they're going to tell Kamala, too. I mean, I don't know what the FBI is going to do here. They're going to silence all of them. I guess so.
He who has not been able to think clearly or carry on a conversation or even read from a teleprompter. You know, this man was not fit to be president. He's not fit to be president right now. You don't want this guy woken up at 2 a.m., you know, by the hotline and there's some emergency that has to be solved. Who's making the decisions here? You know, it's not people who've been elected. It's the deep state. It is his staff, whoever. You know, he shouldn't be in office, and he crashed and burned. Well, they're going to do the same thing with Kamala Harris, because we've all seen her. You know, we've had 4 years to see her in action, and before that as well. She had to drop out of the primary in 2020 because there was no support for her whatsoever. She was going to have a really humiliating result in her own home state of California. So it's just a matter of time. That ship, too, is going to sink. So
he's saying, she's saying, look, they control Joe Biden. They will control Kamala, too. This is a liberal Democrat. They're asking for help. And then Brett Weinstein. Did you see this? If you've watched liberal cable television, you know him, because he's one of their favorite talking heads. He's great for slicing and dicing Republicans. Or he was. Over the weekend, he came out and said he's an RFK supporter. He endorses Trump as a liberal Democrat. Why? He is saying we have to stop the modern Democrat Party or we're going to end up as a totalitarian state. Take a listen.
Does this cause a guy like you to be open to the idea of voting for Trump versus Kamala?
Oh, absolutely. Let me just be perfectly clear about this. I think the modern Democratic Party is an existential threat to the Republic. And although I am a Democrat, I've been a Democrat my whole life, the party that I see in front of me today is literally the inverse of the party I signed up for. This is now the party of war. This is the party of racism. This is the party of censorship. I don't recognize this party. There is no conceivable scenario in which I would vote for Kamala Harris. I just simply will not do it. Am I open to voting for Trump? I am. I'm especially open to it if he is partnered with Bobby Kennedy, because what that tells me is that my values, which are a much closer match for Bobby's, are represented in that administration. And that's really what I want.
Again, these aren't liberal values they're talking about. These are basic American values. We have First Amendment. We love free speech. It's a part of the fabric of America that are under attack by the Democrats. Fascinating. I wonder if any others will come on board.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.